In the studio, I've got Sarah from Extreme Zero Waste. Morning, Sarah.
Hi, Aaron.
Welcome back again. You were only here a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, actually, it was just last week.
Was it last week?
Yeah. Just, you know, the weekly install from your friendly local recyclers.
Excellent. That's what I like. You guys are the sponsors of the show. You can come on anytime.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, I did put the call out. I'm like, anyone want to come with me?
Oh, they're all a bit shy.
Yeah, you're just so scary, Aaron. No.
They all know me.
I was like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. They know my family.
Yeah, we've got enough of your family with us.
Yeah. So 1st of July is a day of fiscal pain for some people, perhaps.
Yeah.
It is
tough. It is tough. I was actually reflecting on how instant tangent, you know, with circadian rhythms and things and how we're going to like work more with the sun and rest. Yeah. So we should rest more in winter.
Yeah.
Ideally, winter is a time to rest. And for us, we have so many things like that. Well, for me, and if we'll work at Extreme, there's so many things happening in July in this like in the deepest month of winter. So we have, as I was chatting last time, the plastics ban, the single-use plastics ban, which is coming into play on the 1st of July. Plastic-free July is the annual month challenge to try and live without plastics. And it's the end of the financial year for government organisations. So, new financial year and new prices. So as of the 1st of July, we have the landfill increase going up again. So every year it's going to increase.
Yep.
That's not us trying to squeeze up more money or anything like that. It is solely the waste levy that the government set for everyone in Aotearoa. So it will be a bit of a pinch for people, we understand, especially as that heading into recession and things like that. Like this time of year is any time of year.
Yeah, yeah.
This time of life.
This is never a good time for a price increase.
Yeah.
So how much have they been adding on when the process started and when does, because it's like $10 a year for a few years or something, is it?
Well,
cubic meter?
Yeah, they actually, they didn't actually increase it for many years. So from my experience, I've only been putting out comms for this for a couple of years because for some reason, I mean, they just weren't acknowledging the impact of waste on climate change. And, you know, there's a lot more pressure now on government to acknowledge all the different areas that are impacting on climate change. Is a bit more mandated in there. I hate that word. encouraged.
You used the M word.
Yeah. So last year it went up to 95, and this year it's going up to 110.
Okay.
Yeah. Per cubic meter.
And that. So that's per cubic meter. So that's it's not like everything's going to be $15 for. Yeah.
No.
We don't know. Just tell us what the cost of the bag is going to be, I guess is where I'm going.
Great question. The new cost of the bags are $4.70, I think. $4.80, sorry. $4.80 and $3. So $4.80 for the big blue bags and $3 for the green ones. Sorry, I stumbled on that. It's a different price for when you bring a bag up to site. Like just a black back sack or something.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a jumbo, large, medium and small bags for people who bring a bag to site. So these are the prepaid bag prices. And that's our recommended retail price is $4.80 for the blue, $3 for the smaller green. But any retailer, so you can get them now at the dairy on Wainui Road.
Across the bridge?
No, just here.
Oh, just around the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, in town.
In town. Super Value, Foursquare, BP and Tiuku.
Okay, and up at Extreme.
And up at Extreme. And so everyone's actually going to set their own price for their own markup.
Okay. And does that add, are they already kind of a lot of variations in the prices?
I think so. We've had some feedback that it is.
Okay.
And also, but we obviously have a wholesale rate just like anything.
Yeah.
And then, our recommended retail is $4.80 and $3. And we wanted.
And that is what it will, if you get it at Extreme, that's what it'll cost. Okay.
Yeah. So, in that price, we like to say for less than a price of a fancy fluffy coffee, you can get your waste picked up from your door. Or your depot if you're living rurally, and transported 100 kilometres north to the landfill site and rent space in the ground for that, your bag of waste, forever for $4.80.
Yeah, or buy space.
Yeah, and part of that is also then there's the tipping fee at the landfill site, which pays for the landfill people to process everything and also take up space. But then there's also the waste levy and GST as well on included in that bag that go back to the government. And the waste levy directly goes to waste minimisation programs, which community groups can apply for, and we at Extreme apply for.
Yes.
To do, so it's steering the I guess it's the waste levy, I don't want to say clips the ticket, but like takes money off waste to landfill and transfers it back into a circle into people who are educating and helping and supporting waste minimisation initiatives in communities all over New Zealand. So
a lot of it's actually coming back here.
Yes, and in turn we're reducing waste. But you can see how our diversion from landfill and Raglan's almost 80%. So if Extreme hadn't existed for the last 22 years... and applied to that fund to support them with tools, support them with paying for projects and getting things up and running, like we were talking about with plastic-free Raglan and all of those sorts of things. Also the processing building to support the increase in volume of recyclables that we're getting because the town is swelling. So all these things that we can apply for and bring it back to the community, support our community to have less waste.
Yeah, I always like to think about Extreme, and really any local business is the same, that the money you spend on them is going to get spent back here again.
Yeah.
Potentially. And Extreme, I know Extreme has a focus on that because it has a mission fit to serve the local community. And I'm trying to think of numbers, but they're not in my head at the moment. But
I think I need to update the numbers, but if you go to our website, you can see on the very front landing page, there's two really big numbers there. There's two awesome counters. One is the waste diverted from landfill so far this year, and the other one was the local spend on contractors and people in our community, because it's really, really important to keep that money going around in our community. And also the fact that we've been able to spend money locally and give people more work. So it's more than just the 40 people in our team. We currently have a whole bunch of Stendi team up there working on the roof, doing things like any sort of contractors or anything like that. It's all positives that have come out of having waste, right? So turning the negatives of waste into more positives, we'd be able to have more support their local economy a lot more.
Yeah. The work I did on the film, which admittedly is 10 years old now, but the principle still applies, was I looked at the amount of money that the community pays in terms of rates to Extreme. I look at that as an investment, and then how much money is spent back into the community, and more money is spent back into the community, much more than is given to Extreme to start with. So as an investment, as a community investment, it's a win.
Mm.
And that's why I was interested in how much the waste levy comes, well, not necessarily how much, but the fact that the waste levy that we're paying will come back to our community in terms of the projects that Extreme does.
Yeah, so as we're talking about investing in Extreme, paying for your rubbish isn't investing in Extreme directly, in a sense that we don't make any money off any landfill. We're not in the business of making money off landfill. We're in the business of reducing landfill.
Yeah.
And so a little bit comes back, hopefully, if we're successful in our funding applications through that waste levy, which is part of it. But 100% of the cost that we're saying for a load, for your trailer load or for your prepaid bags, is the cost of putting rubbish in the ground.
Right.
Yeah, we're not in the business to try and make money off people in that way. We want to have less of it. Help. We're really here to help, because I know that it's a stress, and I've seen comments on the notice board, you know, saying like, oh my God, the price of blue bags these days, blah, 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 and that, you know, we're not ripping anyone off with that. It's like, actually, let us help anyone. We want to help anyone, reduce that spend. If that does feel like a lot for your whānau, and like putting out, I know that I'm just a house of one and a cat.
Yes.
I can quite easily use the green bags and not put them out every week or every month necessarily. And that's why we do have this different size options, and we do have the bag system, and it supports the user pay model, you know, rather than everyone paying the same amount for a weekly wheelie bin service.
And we can recycle more stuff in this community than other communities, so yeah. We're going to be spending less money on the landfill anyway.
Yeah.
Like if you move to Hamilton, you'll find, it's a completely different system, but you can't recycle the same amount of stuff.
Totally. We're very lucky in this community at the end of the road to have all of the services and the site available. So we ask and recommend people to make the most of what's out there, like recycle as much as you can, compost as much as you can if you can't compost at home, or you can do both. You can compost some things at home and then use the food waste service for other things like meat scraps, which aren't very good to put in your compost at home.
Yeah.
Keeps the rats in the neighbourhoods. So those are the two key things, keeping out your compostables and keeping out your recyclables. Like, it just makes sense. There's other free options. Well, not free.
And there's still quite a bit I was seeing some stats from the council. There's still quite a bit of food waste in the blue bags and the little green bag at the moment. So there's still potential for people to save.
To minimise. Yeah. And a really, really important thing with the food scraps is that if we take them out, like, our rubbish bags do not need to stink. I totally acknowledge for families with babies using disposable nappies. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But our rubbish bags do not need to be oozy, sticky, grossy, smelly things, because if we keep the food scraps out, it's all essentially dry going in there. Same way, you don't need a bin liner.
Which means you can max out your blue bag.
Yeah, and you can just sit on your porch a lot longer, and it's not attracting dog strikes, it's not attracting rats and putting any smells or anything on your porch or wherever you store your bag. So it's just, you can keep it at your house longer and fit more in, but don't go over the maximum weight, because remember the boys our crew.
The young men.
The young crew. All genders can pick up, to pick up the bags.
It's not always guys, is it?
No, these days. I shouldn't say the boys at all.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for my call up to have a go on the compact. But you have to lug it with one arm and
throw it.
Or safely.
So what is the maximum weight?
15 kilos.
Okay. Well, a lot of stuff that goes in is not. Unless you're putting bricks in there, it's not really an issue.
I just understand that people are stuffing things in there to, you know, maximise their money's worth.
I just want to point out too that you actually take bricks up there and they can be recycled.
Yes,
so don't put them in your blue bag. There's several reasons not to do that.
Well, you put them on the notice board and they go in a second. Yeah, people want bricks.
People will come and get them. Yeah, you don't have to do anything. So anyway, that's the bags. But also, did we talk about the actual dumping cost if you come up with a trailer?
Yes, it's 110 per cubic metre for a trailer. And we really encourage people to...
Up from
95.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah. And actually, we haven't put the price up anywhere else, so there's no increase in costs in the shop, or e-waste is still the same. I think there's actually a smaller charge for small appliances. I think compost has just increased 50 cents a bag. There hasn't been. It's just the landfill increase that's going up.
There's the government's waste levy. It's affecting the price.
So we really encourage people to sort your loads. Like, there were a lot of trailers coming up yesterday, actually. And like sorting your loads, making sure if you've got things that can be Tetris stacked, then Tetris stack them, and keep your metals and like recyclable things on the top so that they can be pulled off really easily. And you can save yourself so much money by having a good sorted load. And from what I've seen personally, a lot, you know, we have a lot of tradies in our community, so that's not just for families bringing your trailer load of stuff from home, but like builders bringing their trailer load up. If you can sort out your recyclables and keep you know, the reusable bits of things going to the wood yard or the metal yard, keeping the metal, recyclable metal. I'm not just talking about like cans, cans and tin cans. If you've got any metal bits, keep them on top of your load.
There's always metal. Yeah, and the other thing too for builders, that's an interesting equation for them, because like if they mess up a piece of timber, it's more cost effective to the client for them to chuck that piece of timber, grab another one and redo it rather than try to get finicky with something. So there's often a bit of waste that way. But once it leaves a building site and might be picked up by a DIYer, it's a different story.
Yes, so they need, still have potential.
They need to remember that their rubbish is actually quite useful to somebody else.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But not. But I know it's not to them because they're just too, you know, it's all about the time, the dollars per hour that they charge.
Yeah, and we always encourage having various skips on a building site too because, you know, the time of throwing a thing in a bin but putting it in a sorted bin or in the reuse and the recycle instead of everything going in the same skip. It's the same time to throw something, isn't it?
Are there bins for that? You guys do a bin service. I guess people just...
Give us a call. We'd love to work with more builders and sort out things site-specific because, you know, it's windy and figuring out the best containment for each building site.
Yeah, I know. Your comms, this is not your area to, like...
Oh, I'm across all areas.
But
I'm passionate about it.
But they're going to ring Nina, aren't they, or someone like that? Ring the office.
Yeah, ring the office. Ring and probably get me there.
Depend who's in that day.
Yeah. But it's a bigger conversation that we want to have, and we have done trial things, and we want to work with people and help them and listen and hear what the challenges are, and not, you know, we're not working on building sites. Ourselves, where we have our site of our own to manage.
I know I've had the experience of like lots of offcuts of timber from building projects and stacking them carefully in the trailer. You can really get the load down, and that's how it's measured by the people on the yard, isn't it?
Same with green waste, actually. You know, if you bought in a big tree, it's a big square meterage, but if you chop it down and stack it a bit tidier, then it can be less. And actually, green waste is still $22 a cube. That's not gone up either.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's that. Have you got other tips for saving, or have we just
saving some dollars? Yeah. I mean, it's just thinking around. I'm really big on like trying to care for things. Like there was a really awesome repair cafe next door at the community house run by.
That was a big success the first one, wasn't it? Yeah.
Amazing. And so caring for things and repairing things, so we actually have less throwaway. So caring for things is not just fixing a rip, but actually like washing a stain and as soon as you've stained it, what was spilt on it, you know, it makes a huge difference. I've been doing a lot of research into that as I'm working on a resource for the community, online video course to help people towards zero waste. So it's like a multi-week thing, and one of them is repairing and caring for things. So some tips and things on how to, just with household baking soda and vinegar and like what we can, you don't have to have expensive fancy cleaning agents to clean things. But in my research, everyone said act fast is the best thing to do for spills. So that's on your couches cost a lot of money to go into landfill. It takes up a lot of space. So if we actually care for our couches and put a blanket up when the pets hop up and take our shoes off before we put our feet up, don't leave it out on the porch in the rain. You know, if a couch is coming up and has to go to landfill, it hasn't been taken care of. So if we rewind upstream a little bit and take care of everything from our clothing to our toys, bigger furniture items, then we don't have, they can be go on and reused by someone else. So caring for things, choosing secondhand things means there's less packaging. So visiting secondhand stores also, you know, I don't want to tell, it's not necessarily all around buying this, buying that, because you know that it's also consumer culture. But having, if we can have more experiences and do things with people to make us feel joy rather than buying things to feel joy. Like we don't, like if online shopping, I know it's such a bigger conversation and not necessarily here for today, but I strongly believe, and I work in textiles and sewing and fashion and in that world, and I think that if we're consuming to make ourselves feel good, we could find our ways to make ourselves feel good, like by going for a walk or connecting with friends or participating in a class or a community thing.
Or exercise.
Exercise.
That's your line.
Yeah. Then we don't need to do the online shopping, consuming, packaging, courier, all of that stuff that there's just like, and it's all surrounded in plastic wrap and things, you know.
Yeah,
so
insane packaging.
It all adds up into our bag. So also choosing secondhand supports local charities and organisations, so you're voting with your dollar in the right places.
Okay.
Yeah. So, a few tips. I wouldn't assume most of Raglan knows these things, because sometimes it's nice to hear the reminder.
Yeah.
But And also, stay tuned to our Facebook page and Instagram, Extreme Zero Waste, That's the handle. That's why I said it, at Extreme Zero Waste, because I will be releasing soon our you can sign up to our online course.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's videos, that video course that you've been
Yeah. So you just get email each week for 6 weeks with a video hosted by the crew up at Extreme, different people every week. And we focus on a different part of the waste hierarchy, which is rethink, reduce, reuse, repair, recompose, which is composting.
Oh, that's a new
and
one.
Then recycle. We made that one up. And then recycling at the end. All of the steps to do before landfill.
Yeah.
And I also did want to throw in, because we all know that there's, you know, there's a, with the price increase, it'd be really nice to have a sale at the same time. So during school holidays, the shop, Kahu's Nest, is going to have a sale on some certain items. I think it's going to be like your winter woolies, like Manchester or linens, blankets, sleeping bags, duvets, and all clothing. And that's going to be on the 12th and 13th, which is
so the, in a couple of weeks sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
But in the middle of the school holidays,
That's cool. And it's I'm interested in the thought about not making money out of the landfill, because we were talking about that with the blue bags.
Yeah.
And that's
and the same with
for,
loads
for people. People are like, well, why don't they make a bit? This seems reasonable to make a bit of money. But I get that it's the that's about the business model, because we've got the corporate sector who are making profit from landfill, so it provides an incentive to increase the amount of landfill.
The people who own the landfill, who are cruising around in the cities picking up your rubbish, not your one's rubbish.
My mother's rubbish. She's in Hamilton.
They're not sending. They don't have a person like me sending out messages every week, being like, "This is how you can have less landfill," because they're making money off it.
Yeah, so it's really important for Extreme not to make money off the landfill, but
we don't want to
make money off the other things, the education and the recycling, because that and then that drives naturally drives whether the operation, the direction it goes in.
Yeah, and of course there's a bit a section of the of your load or your blue bag goes to like paying our runners to pick up your bag
of
and,
course
and someone to greet you, and you know you do the FPOS transaction with but we're not there's no like necessarily like Mark, it's not paying for me to do this.
That comes from somewhere else. The inner workings of Extreme's accounts. We're worried about
that
now.
Yeah, totally. But I hope that I know that it's could feel intense for people, and we totally empathise. You know, another thing spiking up in price, but this is the true cost of the impact on Papatūānuku and the waterways and the air and
of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Sarah, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Did we
Thank
cover
you.
Everything?
I hope so.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, no, cut-offs, that's all good.
All right.
Thanks, Aaron.